I love you all. Good to be in the house. Again, I'm glad that you're here. Those are live stream. We bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this great day, this great opportunity to seek your face and to declare and decree the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that we could be born again, the good news that no matter what, you're there for us and you love us. Father, I ask now that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross in order that Jesus would get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We love you today, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. And in Jesus' name, everybody say amen and amen. Here's the word that the Lord spoke to me. And this is going to be a very raw message this morning. It's going to be a hard message and difficult because, again, we live in a society where everything seems to be inflated and imagination is everywhere. It seems to be like Walt Disney World. And then we hear a word that brings us into reality, and I hope this helps many today. The Lord spoke to me. He said, America, you have been blinded by your success, and you have become deaf to my warnings. The earth beneath you shakes, but you have no cares. You worry not, for this does not apply to you. But I say unto you, the land of rejection, I will deal with you soon as I dealt with Sodom. And I will chastise you and lead you into judgment. You have forsaken my covenant, and now I will lead you into judgment. He said, thorns and thickets fill your lands because your sin abounds throughout your nation. You will not return unto me, he said, but now you will be abandoned and forsaken and left to fight your battles alone. I have called you and I chose you and blessed you. But as a dog that returns to its vomit, you have returned to the pagan gods of your fathers. These fathers who wore masks and by deception founded your nation in idolatry. Your monuments enshrine this fact, and the proof is on your dollar. Do not fear those who walk by faith. Stand firm, unmovable, and always abide in my presence and love. For soon the death angel will pass over this nation, and I will remember those to whom I've marked and sealed with my blood. It's the second week the Lord has spoken about standing firm. I think that I would grab hold of that truth and stand firm in the word of God. Amen. And stand firm in this presence. Because we're in an hour when many people are refusing to even stand in the very basics and the very foundations of Christianity. How many of y'all know friends and family who have left the faith and have gone on to addictions and doctrines of devils because they just look at you and they say it's too hard to live right? Well, I believe that it's harder to live wrong. I find living right easy when you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you stick to the disciplines of the Christian faith. Can anybody say amen? So again, I want you to pray over that word, read over it, study it, ask the Lord to speak to you. But it is a dangerous hour that we're living in, and God is dealing with our country in ways that many may not see. And in totality, it seems as though things are fine when you look through the television screen and you look at all the pomp and circumstance of a nation that tries to bring us into a place of propaganda so that we just continue to spin and we continue to slide the card and we continue to expand our credit deficits. How many of y'all know that's the American way? Because we always have to have bigger things and better things, and we definitely got to be better than the Joneses next door. The title of this message is called Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill. The Lord spoke this to me, and I said, Jack and Jill. He said, Jack and Jill. He said, I want you to preach on that and the reality that America is living in a nursery rhyme type of attitude, that everything seems so wonderful and perfect. If you listen to Again, the mantras and the propaganda that comes from our television screens, whether it is a politician or it is a polished preacher who has been baptized in the ecumenical system of our country, that leads people astray and into the cliff of the abyss, saying that everything is well. And you know that's true because you watch television or you hear news reports that polishes over, if you will, the very reality that things are not good, but they make it sound good. And our preachers tell us, because the birds are still chirping and the sun is still shining and everything seems to be going our way, and your credit card still works and the ATM still works and your food bank, come on somebody, your food bank abilities are still there, and all of these things that we have become comfortable with are still operating. And because of that, we're lulled back asleep into a position, well, with a lullaby, just singing this rhyme all around us that we're living in the best days and this country has never seen greater times. I wish that were true. I wish that were so. I do long for the days when we wouldn't have to be concerned about judgment and concerned about military crisis and conflict and the economy and all the things that are looming around the corner. But the reality of the prophetic time frame, according to the Word of God, is striking midnight, and therefore we must be awake and ready for the midnight call and cry and have our lamps ready for the coming of the Lord. So Jack and Jill, we all know the rhyme. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. How many of y'all remember that? So many different aspects to that rhyme. If you research it, so many people claim it means this and it means that. But one of the things that I researched and I found that was interesting to me, that it tied into Charles I, the king, and how that he tried to change the measurements for taxation, and the parliament denied him that right. So he went ahead and did it another way, and he lowered the measurements so that he could get more taxes and less of the product. Very clever to change it. But later on in life, we read through circumstances and events that Charles ended up losing his head, which means he lost his crown. So Jack and Jill, I want to preach that to you this morning. Go to the book of Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. The Lord has a sense of humor. That's why I love about him so much. Religious folks can't stand it. Religious folks get all upset and they say, oh, he has a nursery rhyme up there. Isn't that cute? Isn't that just so cute? But the prophetic significance to Jack and Jill is, first of all, if you were to really research and look at some of these nursery rhymes, they're pretty much well insane. Somebody on LSD or some type of narcotics wrote a lot of these things, and because we're children, we're just like, yeah. I mean, rock-a-bye my baby in the treetop. We call that child abuse in America today, don't you? But Jack and Jill, they went up a hill. First of all, water doesn't go up a hill. The well don't belong uphill. The water belongs downhill. And so that is the way we are today in America. We have things upside down, and people don't really listen to the prophetic words. They really don't read their Bibles. They listen to nursery rhymes of preachers who make them feel good. They hear the lullaby, they hear the rhythm, they hear the tune, the tone, and it relaxes them, and they say, oh, that's the message I want to hear, because it keeps me comfortable in my cradle. It keeps me comfortable in my swing. It keeps me lulled, and it keeps me asleep. It keeps me in the position where I want to be. And I'm not going to listen to those that raise their voice and warn and tell me the truth, even though it's right there in the Word of God. I need a preacher to sing me a nursery rhyme. I need somebody to tell me a sweet little white lie. I need somebody just to change the word just a little bit. Just change the tune. Change God, if you will, so that I can have a comfortable life. Because, preacher, I really don't like what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. But the reality is, the Word of God is the Word of God. And we have to face what He is saying in the hour so that we can be prepared for the things that are coming at us and that are taking place even as I speak in this nation. So Jack and Jill, they went up a hill. Isaiah chapter 13, are you there? The burden of Babylon. The word burden means prophecy. It means a heavy prophetic word. It means something to be carried. I have a burden this morning, a burden for America, which is Babylon. I have a burden for our nation. And my burden is not that this nation would churn and become this utopia type of kingdom, but my burden is that people, both near and far, in this great nation would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they would turn from their wicked ways, and they would know the Lord Jesus as Savior. That those, amen, that those that are found in these carnal pagan churches would turn away from these warlocks and witches who stand before them and teach them another gospel and show them strange fire. I long for a day when revival and reformation would come to America, not to change a political scene or system, because that is wretched and will never be changed, but a group of people who would become on fire, baptized with that Holy Ghost and fire, and find a new love and passion for the things of God, who love God's house and love God's people, who love the Word of God, who read the Word of God, who worship the God of the Word. I'm longing for a day when the peoples would shake off the chains of unrighteousness and paganism that has creeped into our churches. Our churches are no more than New Age sanctuaries for gospel of the doctrines of devils. I long for a day of change. I long for a day when I turn on the television and I hear a preacher preaching the blessed truth without fear and not being intimidated by anybody, with love and passion within their eyes, telling folks that you can be free of alcoholism and drug addiction and homosexuality. You can be free today and not be afraid of the faces that stare them down or the money they try to pull back and hold back to starve out the preacher. I long for a day. I long for a day when we see men and women of God standing up and declaring, decreeing the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in a pulpit, but in your local store, in your local Walmart, in your local city hall and council meeting, where they stand up and decree that this is the way we should go. But we're afraid today because we have a snowflake generation that has been inundated by the spirit of the hour and of the day, the spirit of Jezebel and the python spirit that chokes the very life out of them and tries to destroy the prophetic word and the prophet himself. I'm telling you, there's coming a militant church. There's coming a church that's going to rise up and say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than my life and more than my friendships and more than the opinions of men. I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than going with a political entity and affiliation. I love the Lord Jesus Christ so much that I'm willing to break ranks with the ecumenical order of the day. I feel like a man from another world this morning, and I'm all alone in this place. But the reality is this: I believe that God will raise up that remnant, that God will raise up those Isaiahs and those Elijahs and those John the Baptist. I believe that God will raise up the Book of Acts church in the last days. We need it. We need reality today in our lives. We need to find ourselves in the position of Holy Ghost fire and being baptized again. Recognizing, realizing that this is not our home, that these things that you and I hold so dear and we try to grab hold of, you know what I'm talking about, the 401ks, the lifestyles that we have and all these entrapments and all of our promises of retirement and all these things that we have been sold as a bill of lies in the American dream. I'm looking for a day when people begin to say, my home is heaven. I'm not worried about this earth. Everything is growing so strangely dim. I'm not talking about using the assets and the things that God gives you on this earth. I'm talking about them having you to where they strangle you from living the greatest life you could ever live for the Lord Jesus Christ, from keeping you from being who you're supposed to be, keeping you from being that person, that disciple, that man or woman of God in these last days. I'm looking forward to blazing a trail of glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to moving into a new dimension in Him and through the calling of God in these last days. I haven't even started preaching just yet. But Jack and Jill, that's the rhyme. That is what we want to hear as we go back and forth on our cradle being rocked in this nation. We don't really care if we hear lie after lie after lie from the White House or from the media platforms we listen to. We don't care about those things and we don't desire truth. Just keep the money rolling. Just keep the good times going. Just keep the stocks going up and up. Just keep me in my luxury in the life that I live in. You see, in Christianity, we have been told a lie that that is the only way to live. That is not the only way to live. The only way to live is fearless faith. The only way to live is live a life in Christ as the early church did, as the apostles did, as the disciples did, where they didn't care about king or magistrates. They didn't care about anybody in authority. They would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they said, we would rather obey God then obey men. I'm not talking about usurping authority or being rebellious. I'm talking about His kingdom comes first. My lifestyle and the luxury that God has given me is not first, and that is not my pursuit as an American Christian. But for most churches today, sitting down somewhere around this neighborhood, this city, and this nation, it's being preached, the gospel enterprise of prosperity in America. Only in America can a preacher get away with asking for $54 million for an airplane. Only in America. Come on, somebody. I was just hoping for some air conditioners. Is anybody here? I'm not even going to tell you how much I need, because my Father shall supply all that I need in the riches and glory that are in Christ Jesus. Is anybody here? The rhymes of our life, it becomes the rhythm of our lives. The sounds that we listen to, whether it is music or whether it is speech, keeps us driving in the direction that we want to go. That's why preachers get shut off when we don't take you where you want to go. You see, we choose what kind of music and what kind of language and what kind of speech we hear, even from the Word of God. We choose the messages that we think are of God and are not of God based on where we're headed. It's the truth. And so when you have a group of people, and I am only one of millions, who believe the truth of the Word of God and believe that reformation must come through judgment and chaos and crisis and not through an election, and you cannot legislate love, it's an impossibility. When we have a group of people who recognize and realize that, and again, I believe there are plenty that are out there, I'm looking forward to them rising up in greater way and greater manifestation and have greater influence in this nation, so that that can be the tune and the sound that brings us into the destination of God, because there will be no great move of God until judgment comes. My warning, Sunday after Sunday, And when God speaks to me, my warnings from heaven are that you are prepared for the calamity that's to come. And those that are watching right now and those that may be in this room that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you may not see tomorrow. So now is the day of salvation. I would get it right now. I would get my addictions clean now. I would get the things that are wrong in my life out now. We don't hear that anymore. Again, we live in this fantasy island of a nation that these rhymes are what we want to hear, even though they don't make any sense. Jack and Jill should have been at the house, amen. Are you in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 3? I've been waiting on you. Y'all trying to make me, this is my anniversary, man. The burden of Babylon, the weighty prophetic word of Babylon, which Isaiah, what happened? The son of Amos, did see. I'm saying it slow and just a little bit dramatic because I want that to sink into your mindset, into the psuche. Because there was a burden of Babylon. There is a prophetic word. It's a heavy word, Isaiah. I want you to declare this, but before you can declare this word, Isaiah, you must see it. My question to the American church today and those that will listen to me around the world, do you see the vision of God? Do you see the way Isaiah saw it? Do you see the nation and the nations of the world and the prophetic time frame on which we walk and live in right now? Do you see it the way God sees it? We have a disconnect in the American church because we don't see it this way. We see it the way that the popular preachers see it. We see it the way of our politicians. We see it the way that numbers are flipped upside down to look good. We see it the way that lies are told to us instead of going to the Word of God and the God of the Word and seeing it the way He sees it. When I became awake to the hour that we are living in the path and pattern of judgment, I had to see it before I could ever say it. I had to come to realization that my dream of an America just having revival and everybody holding hands and singing kumbaya and everything was wonderful and we legislate laws where the white man would love the black man and the black man would love the white man and we would all just be together in this great community of revival. When I finally became awake, I had to see it. And those of you that are awake and you remember the day that this became revelation to you and you turned off those charlatans who promised you your best life now and you recognize and you realize as you looked at the word and you looked outside, they were connecting and the others weren't. You had that understanding and that revelation. You saw it. I'm telling you, before we could ever see revival in this nation and reformation, we must see the way God sees it. We must look at sin the way God sees it. Today in our churches, we accept all kinds of issues of life and we embrace them. I'm not a preacher who says that you have to walk in holiness and all these different things and be perfect without God dealing with you and helping you. Yes, you must walk in holiness and God is perfecting us, but I understand that is a process. But today we've gone all the way to the other side of the road and we just say, well, just do what you want to do. You can be what you want to be. It doesn't make any difference. In fact, you know, God loves you so much, it's going to be okay. When the reality is that there is a payment someday for our sin. There is a judgment time. There is a time when we need to mature and grow up. I love everybody, and I want to see people delivered. But I'm telling you, the only way to be delivered is to preach the truth and get to the heart and the core of the problem, and that is the heart of man. To get to the place and use the truth of the Word of God, which is the medicine, which is the surgical tools, which is the healing power. It's the Word of God. So many times we have preachers who've turned into counselors. They want to counsel that demon out of you. Honey, demons don't leave until you tell them to get out. We've lost that today. We've lost that reality in our country. We've lost that because we want to be popular with everybody. We want our preacher to be slick-haired and shiny shoe and come off a GQ magazine cover. Well, you didn't get none of that. You didn't have to amen so hard, but the truth of the matter is I look like I came off a Tractor Supply book. Is anybody here? But I've been married 23 years, praise God. The Lord does have pity on some folk. Verse 2. I'm only winding you up because I'm going to slug you good here with truth. Come on now. Counselors. We have preachers in our pulpits who are counselors that make us want to feel good. Listen, I want to feel good. I want to be lifted up, but I don't want to be lied to. Come on now. You go to the doctor and he gives you this long French, Greek, Hebrew word. Come on, makes you sound like you're about to die. I mean, just tell me the truth, man. Just say, you got a cold. Okay. I can handle that. Verse 2. Lift up a banner upon the high mountains and exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand, what's it say? That they may go into the gates of the nobles. So God says, I got a vision. I've got a burden for Babylon. Isaiah, I want you to declare this to them. But you need to see it, son, and you need to say it the way I see it and declare it the way I say it. And so he did. He said, I see this banner upon a mountain. Now, the banner means ensign. It means a signal. It means a type of landmark to tell the enemy where their enemy is at. And I believe that today in America, we have a banner that is over our country. And this banner is contrary to what we're told by our popular television preachers and those in public places of authority. They're telling us that we're marked for blessings and that this is the hour of the rising of the great nation of America and America first and all the mantras that you've heard over the past couple years. When the reality is we've been marked by God for our enemies to destroy us. We've been marked by God for our enemies to invade. We've been marked by God for God to use the enemies to bring us to judgment. Now again, this is contrary to most of those people who listen to the nursery rhymes of current preachers. But it is the truth nonetheless. We've been marked. And it says they've been waving the hand, meaning come over here. This is where the entrance to the gate is. This is where you can go into the places of authority. These are the places where you can find their breaches. If you've paid any attention to news lately, we have been receiving all types of breaches in this nation, whether it is in our banking system or in our top secret military planning and all these other issues of military. We have been breached by our enemies. There's a signal given to our enemies that they have the right to invade this country. It's very hard to hear that this hour. Because again, we're not listening to the tune of the word and we're not listening to the prophetic and seeing it the way God sees it. We listen to others and think it's okay. But the reality is we have enemies that want to destroy us. Never before have we listened to the sounds of the nations of the world come against this country. It is becoming like a choir. The chorus is getting louder and it's getting louder. And they're saying that they've had enough of the American enterprise. You can deny that all you want, but it is a reality in the world today. Just look at some of the summit meetings. Just look at some of the comments that are being made by people in power. They've had enough of the American dollar. The American dollar will crash, and we will see an economic holocaust in this country. It's already happening, and I will share some of that in just a minute. Are you still with me? In verse 3, I have commanded, who? God. I have commanded my sanctified ones, and I have also called the mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. In other words, those that are in position to do God's beckoning. Those that have been called by God to bring judgment. See, we don't believe this and we don't understand this, but God has an army. God has enemies. God has people in position to bring our country to its knees. And the reason these gates are open is because of our sin. You can't do what we do in America and expect the blessings of God to be upon our country. You cannot legalize same-sex marriage and think that it's going to be okay. It will be as Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be as in the days of Noah. You cannot allow the killing of babies to be as open sewage underneath our feet. You can't allow these things to take place in our country and think that God will bless America and make America great again. It's an impossibility when we have sin that's all across our country, including our White House and including our church houses. You say, Pastor, are you looking for a perfect place? No, I'm telling you, this is the way God sees the last days. And in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be prideful, them boasters, and they'll be murderers, and they'll be dogs, they'll be effeminate. There'll be all kinds of treachery and all kinds of unrighteousness on the earth. It's funny, we can read that in a book and be satisfied with it, but we won't look at today's reality and realize he's talking about right now. Because the American mindset and the Christian mindset is it's down the road someday and it does not apply to me. I'm telling you, Isaiah 13 applies to America this day. It applies to the condition of the church and where we are. I'm kicking against the pricks this morning. I feel the resistance, not in this house, but in the spirit of the world. I feel the resistance because we're coming up into the summertime. We're coming up into the lake time. We're coming up into the party time. We're coming up into all these things that we use to drown ourselves out of the current reality that we're in. I'm so glad I'm with friends this morning. I'm so glad that I'm speaking to the remnant church that believes the word of God and sees it the way Isaiah sees it. We have enemies that are out after us, but God is going to let them in. Let that sink in for a little bit. God is going to open the gate, Belshazzar. God is going to open the gate and allow the kingdom to come down. Jack and Jill will fall. He's going to allow it to take place. He's going to allow this nation to suffer great judgment because of our sin. You know, there are those that will argue with me, and I don't get a lot of hate letters, but I get some. But there's people that will argue and they'll say, look at our country, man, and how great it is and what our forefathers did and the very fumes of revival of yesterday's righteousness. And I have to look at them and say, what about the recent mass killings in our country? How much did that change the nation? And how much did revival take place? How many preachers really got on television and wore sackcloth and ashes? And how many are still talking about Parkland and what took place in Texas? How many are still mourning and crying out for the lost loved ones and for the shed blood of our innocency? How many of them are still crying out for abortion and what we did by same-sex marriage? How many are still preaching and saying, God, have mercy upon us in the midst of judgment? I find very few. in the mainstream Christian media, very few. You have to go to the back alley of YouTube where you find me and some other folks who are faithful to stand and declare and decree the truth, no matter the opposition and resistance. It doesn't make a difference. The truth is this: we have not repented. You would think after 9/11, when the churches were full for maybe 60 days, if that, that the nation would turn and we would have great revival. No, we didn't have great revival. We went to war. And senseless at that, and still paying the price for that war. America is headed into war, but we're not going to like the outcome. Verse 5, the noise of the multitudes in the mountains, like as of great people. What is he talking about? This tone of clatter and people hollering out and making great noise. It is the nations of the world that say to Babylon, we're tired of you having rule over us. If you would really study geopolitics and stop listening to the Three Stooges on your nightly news, you would find out and recognize and realize again that the nations of the world are tired of the power and the authority that's being placed upon them through the power of the petrodollar and through the power of the military of America. They're tired of the pressure, and they want the free markets. They want it their way. They want their currencies. They want their currencies to flourish, and they want their government to have the right of way. They're tired of America. If you don't know that, look at Russia and China and study how many tons of gold they have procured over the years. Gold is true wealth. And how the nations of the world are preparing for war. And nearly every continent of the earth, if you'll just study it and find out. The greatest gun sales people of the world, the greatest weapon salesmen of the world are the Americans, including this president. Look it up. But yet we hoop and we holler and we say, God is with us and God is for us and this is America and we're awesome and there's nobody like us. And though I used to raise the same voice and the same mantra, I do not today because I see it the way Isaiah sees it. I see it the way God sees it. We have blood upon our hands and it's innocent blood. Oh, I can feel the resistance. This is good. This is a good workout. They say resistance training is the best. Whew. I love this kind of stuff because I know this is kicking against the crawl of a lot of folks today and I love it. Because it is absolutely the truth. We do not want to admit it, that we have become like those nations that we defeated in Nazi Germany. We become just like those that we defeated in other conflicts in the world. We've become just like them. The only problem is we wear a suit and we think everything's right and we say, in God we trust. We're in trouble, folks. And so the lands, I'm reading to you from the book of Isaiah. I'm reading to you this prophecy of Babylon. I'm reading to you as though I'm reading out of a newspaper. The nations are tumultuous. The nations are rising up against America. The nations have had enough of us. And we're still dealing with other nations in a wrong way. Like a dictator. You say, how's that happening? Well, just look down in Argentina. I don't have time to go through that. Do your own studying. What's happening in Argentina has the same fingerprints of the Dulles brothers of the CIA years ago. Y'all don't even know. Most folks don't know their history and how that we've nation changed in foreign countries through the power of uprising. Study it. It's there. I don't have time to go through this. I really want to talk about Yemen. I'd like to talk about the Ukraine. I'd like to talk about other places in our world where we're meddling in to try to bring the dollar to its place of authority around the world, but it's going to come down. It's not going to work. It's not going to work because it's blood money. And see, Americans don't want to hear this today from a preacher, because what that means is that your life is going to have to change and my life is going to have to change. And we're going to have to come to the realization that we must live by faith. The just live by faith. Most people in America that are in churches don't live by faith. They live by 401ks. They live by capital. What's in your wallet? Come on, somebody. They live by MasterCard. They live by Visa. They live by Wells Fargo. They live by anything and everything that they can get their hands on to survive. It's the truth. I'm going to read you some statistics in a minute to make you real mad, because some of y'all don't have your fangs out yet, but I'm working to get them out. Look at verse 5. They come from a far country. Where do they come from? A far country. A different country. From the ends of heaven. Even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to make the country great again. No. I'm sorry, that's your NIV. To destroy. Y'all, hang on. I'm just setting you up. I'm warming you up. I'm trying to get you mad. I'm sorry, that was the Message Bible. But you would think that's what it would say. You would think that most preachers are preaching out of the Precious Moments Bible. Because I've never seen in the Precious Moments Bible Cain killing Abel. I don't think it's in there. But you would think that's what they're preaching from. The modern translation of not offending anybody. But he says he's going to destroy the whole land. It rains on the just and the unjust. What he's talking about is he is going to change Babylon forever. And I believe that our system, which is Babylonian, will be changed forever. In the word the Lord gave us in the beginning, he talked about the pagan gods of our forefathers, talking about the idolatry of Freemasonry. The idolatry of Masonism, the whole thing that America was founded upon. If you go and look at the understandings of the monuments in this country, it's all right there. It's in our history. You can deny it all you want. It's a reality. And it's even on your dollar bill. Since when did America have a pyramid with an all-seeing eye? It's Egyptian. It's pagan. I don't have time to go through all this. I've already preached and taught this many times. But there's people that are coming on and getting awake, and they're new and they're listening. These things are a part of the foundation of our country. These were part of the magic, if you will, of founding this nation. But yet, we don't recognize and realize that. We think that everything is honky-dory, and Jack and Jill are going up the hill, man. They're just going to get a little bit of water, and everything's going to be fine. Honey, they're going to fall down and bust the crown and spill that pail of water. You better wake up, America. You better wake up, church. You better wake up and quit listening to the people that are keeping you in bondage. Because I ask you today, if you were a church in Venezuela 3 years ago, the preaching, and let's say 4 years ago, the preaching would be of happiness and things of the gospel and everybody just doing well, understanding that you had a tyrant called Hugo Chavez in power, who was no more than a Fidel Castro Jr., bit by that dog that put that venom in him of rabies. Fidel said that, by the way. And you would see some problems in your country, and socialism would be its mantra and its mechanism of system of life. But the church would kind of be okay. But all of a sudden it began to change, and as you see, it is turning into a third world operation, to where people are eating garbage and animals out of the zoo, and even worse. It flipped. And it happened under the preacher's watch. It happened under that good time, rock and roll, everything's fine mantra coming out of the churches. But all of a sudden, it began to change. You see, we're in the same position today. But the only difference between Venezuela and the United States is we have better liars in power. We have better deception. We have better marketing. We have better commercials. We have better mantras. We have better magic shows. We have a better program that has kept America in the dark since the murder of John F. Kennedy. It's the truth. But we don't want to bear this truth, because bearing the truth and holding the truth and revealing the truth means responsibility for you to see it the way God sees it, and you don't want to. America resists this type of preaching. They resist this truth. But the true church and the remnant grab hold of it, and they say, yes and amen, that is the truth, and we will live according to the way we see it in the Word of God. But I thought about that this morning. I thought about Venezuela. I thought about how everything just seemed to be going wonderful. And other nations that are dealing with crisis, such as Brazil, that everything seemed to be happening just so wonderfully. But underneath the currents, there was a shaking. But few wanted to listen to the prophets. Listen to the prophets and you will prosper. And you will be blessed and you'll be ready for what is about to take place. Verse 6, it says, howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as destruction from who? The Almighty. If you haven't paid attention, I've just mentioned to you over four different verses or so where God said he would be the orchestrator and he would be the supervisor. He would be the commander. He would be the appointee. He would be the one that would look over the destruction of Babylon. I don't have time to go into the book of Revelation, but you can see Revelation chapter 6 from verse 12 on down. You can see where it talks about the wrath of the Lamb. Part of our problem in American church is theology, especially eschatology, the study of the last days. One of the problems that we have is we believe that we're going to be out of this place before there's any trouble. But I hate to tell you the truth and mess up your Sunday morning, but the reality is that we are not leaving anywhere off this people planet until the will of God has been fulfilled and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ has gone to every single nation of the world, and it has not. With all the technology and all the things that we have with media, the gospel has not been preached to the entire planet just yet. When I was in Nepal, I was told by the people who are my host that there were still well over 1,000 different translations of the Bible yet to be brought to the people in the mountain regions, so high that you had to wear oxygen if you were an American or take an helicopter to get to the places where they live. There's people still in the Amazon we've yet to discover. But yet we are so pious and prideful and arrogant in America because we read the every series of The Left Behind, and we know the timetable of God, even though those books don't even line up with the reality of what's going on outside your door. But it's America, baby. It's America. It's the nursery rhymes that we hear from these preachers. We read these things and watch these television programs, these movies that these Christian companies make based on theology that is antiquated and is deceptive. And we take it hook, line, and sinker, and we preach it, and we say, we're out of here, dude. We ain't got no problems. I'm not worried about nothing because my Savior is coming. What if your theology is wrong? I don't have time to preach and teach the whole theology of the rapture. I have through ISM and maybe one day from this pulpit. But the reality is this. What if you're wrong? What if your timing is off? What if you got to spend a little time in hell on earth? Listen to me now. Because I know there's people that have defriended me on Facebook. That really hurt. I don't even know who you are. You're a cyber icon. You're just a plasma little thing. I don't even know what you are. And they get all mad because of the rapture. Because I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving here. And what you telling me? You're crushing my world, preacher. No, honey, what I'm trying to tell you is, what if you got to stay a little while? What if you got to work in the harvest field? What if you got to work while all hell is busting loose? What if you have to work Revelation chapter 6, which deals with the wrath of the Lamb? I didn't say the wrath of God. Well, Revelation chapter 4 says, come on up. No, it doesn't. Study it. It means more than that. Go listen to my teaching on the book of Revelation. He's talking to John, not the church. See, you have to rattle cages with this. You have to shake the American public and the churches, because we have this gospel of escapism. We have this mentality. It can't happen here. It can't happen in America. No, 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 it can't happen. We voted in the guy we wanted. It can't happen because we have midterm elections. It can't happen because we have in God we trust and our money. It can't happen, elder. Don't you know we're America? Don't you understand, man? In God we trust is everywhere. When the reality is that when a nation turns its back on God and forgets God and forgets the covenant, it becomes a land of rejection and it becomes a place of hell. That's what Babylon becomes. You can read it later on in the Bible. You can read it later on in the book of Revelation and Isaiah. It becomes a place of desolation. Listen, if it was not for some form of normality and the rule of law, this place would be bananas. I'm going to go ahead and preach. I just gave you my introduction. Now I'm going to preach to you. This place would be absolute bananas. It's just reported that over 85% of Americans, 4 out of 5, have been dealing with road rage. I'm not going to look at you all. I'm going to do the lighthouse look. 85%, including me. Come on now. Some of y'all wish that your horn was a machine gun. You would take everybody out of the way for you to get in the Walmart. And you know it's the truth. Don't look at me with your halo crooked on your horns. It's the truth. I was just saying that to my family in the car. I said, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this guy cut out in front of me. I was like, hey, William. That's a mild form of road rage. I understand that. But you ought to see what these crazy banana people are. You ought to be crazy. They're crazy. You ought to see what they're doing. I watched this one guy. He crashed into this other car with this Tahoe. And then he backed up and he crashed it again. He jumped out of the Tahoe, jumped on top of the RAV4, and started bouncing on top like a gorilla. I'm not lying to y'all. He's pulling parts of the car off, chunking it like he is a gorilla. And all the cops can do is just stand there. Which I'm glad normally they shoot him. Come on, folks, help me out now. You see it every day. Some of y'all part of this road rage. But I mean, it's getting crazy. We're in a banana republic. It's insanity. If it wasn't for some type of rule of law, some type of the constraining power of the Holy Spirit on this nation, man, we would be bonkers more than we are now. Listen to the news that takes place in our country. The absolute craziness. Read the other day where a half-brother shot and killed his half-brother because he had eaten the last honey bun. And owed him a few bucks. Listen to me, folks. It becomes laughable, but that was somebody's child. That was a family member. That was a neighbor somewhere that actually lost his brains and shot his half-brother because of a honey bun. I'd have been more than glad to sponsor a case of honey buns to save that boy's life. I'd have been more than glad to take it out of my own pocket right now. UPS it if they don't strike. That's another thing you better look out for. It's insanity. A honey bun. You can buy the cheap version of the Dollar Tree for a buck. I don't know what you're going to eat, but you can get it. Come on, I'm going to close this thing in just a minute. This is crazy. This is insanity, but this is the nation that you live in. This is the Jack and Jill little rhyme that we're hearing. This is the little nursery rhyme that's going off in everybody's head that we just holding hands, go get a pail of water.
We did going up the hill, boy. We're going to have a good time when we get there. When you don't recognize your descent is worse than your ascent. The fantasy's always going up and everything's going to be wonderful when you get to the high place. The reality is when you crash and burn coming down. And America's coming down off of its pedestal and its place in the position of power. It's just been reported that the 10th largest or longest, if not longest, but more the largest cause of death is the greatest cause of death is suicide. It's insanity. And we're watching it take place. It's the leading cause for since 1999 till today, it has risen up 30%. People are losing their minds because they've lost their hearts and they've lost hope in God. The enemy doesn't have to be a foreign army just yet. It can be the enemy of depression and suicide and loneliness that is ravishing our country. Why? Because we've not taught our children and not taught our people in the churches that you can be happy with almost nothing. If you have faith in God and love Him and know His Word, you can be happy. I don't have to have the latest. I don't have to have the best. I can wear a good pair of rugged, whatever they call them, at Walmart, as opposed to Jordache or some other type of thing that these super slugs tell us we have to have. How well did that work for Kate Spade? How well did that work for Anthony Bourdain? How well did that work for those that are in high places with money? Seems like they had life by the collar. For those who used to see glimpses of Anthony traveling the world, it would almost bring jealousy to the mind of man as he went to exotic places and ate and drank and lived the nightlife on somebody else's bill only to hang himself in a hotel. Big deal. When I hear of those suicides, my heart breaks. But I look at the foolishness of man. I look at man not having hope in Jesus Christ. And I point my finger at the church. And I point my finger at these preachers. That why do we offer hope and tell folks that the hope that you need cannot be filled. That void cannot be filled by things. But America, we believe that we can fill that void with drugs. And sexual exploits, and pornography, and lust, and every other type of vice that is known to man, we try to fill ourselves with it. How many all know they used to live those days? That doesn't work. Only Jesus Christ can fill that void. 30% since 1999. Statistics say around 123 people commit suicide a day in America. Think about it. Think about a place where you go to visit that well over 100 people are there at any time, maybe eating lunch or maybe a Walmart, and every day you just clean that area out because they're gone. They've left to eternity. That's what's happening in America right now. How do you tell me the nation is fine? How do you tell me there's no burden, Isaiah? How do you tell me there's no prophetic word or judgment against America when we are losing those types of people and those numbers in our nation, not including the world? Just the other day, the Queen of Holland had her sister kill herself in Argentina in the same manner as these others did by hanging. I know there's conspiracy people out there that have different views, but I want to point to the main root of all roots, and that is sin. How do we have this mindset that everything's fine when we see these things take place in our nation and around the world? I cannot deny the reality that's around me. I'm a realist. I see it the way it is, and I see it God's way. I want to read this statistic to you as I close, and I will close in just a minute. I do want you to read the rest of Isaiah chapter 13 and see the parallels of America. See the parallels of Babylon
and how close we are to desolation and destruction, how close we are to a change, to where our nation will never, ever be the same again. 78 million Americans, listen to me, church. Let me pull you out of your nursery rhyme dreamland. 78 million Americans are working erratic shifts and hustling every way they can to make an extra dime to make it in America. If the economy was so well, if everything was so wonderful, then why are we having numbers like that? And these are your neighbors, and maybe some of you that are in this room today. There are people that have to work extra and do extra things just to make ends meet. A recent statistics came out and said that for the first time ever in America, more people are willing to pay their cell phone bill than for their car bill. Life is upside down. Life is not as well as we think it should be. A recent study came out that said not since 1929 have we had financial inequalities in America. Since the Great Depression, it has never been this way, where the 0.1% own more than the 99. That's a fact. And it's the same trumpeters, it's the same people on television, the same people tooting and saying, man, this is awesome, this is wonderful, come on, go get you a new car, it's never been lower, come on, this is the time to get a house, it's never been the right time, oh, it's never been like this, this is the time of utopia, and more people are in debt and are in credit card debt than ever before. We are in trouble, and we're being set up. We're being set up for the fall. We're being placed into the entrapment of the financial system. You say, Pastor, what do? You get out of debt. You do everything you can to pay your bills. You pay your tithe. You give to the orphans. You do everything the Bible tells you, and you live with what you have. If you can't afford it, don't go get it. And if you're going to go buy something that has payments to it, have a payoff plan. If you're in a position to where you have to borrow money, always find out if there is any penalty from paying it off. I don't borrow anything for this church or ministry without there being no penalty for payoff. And they all look at me cross-eyed. Because I look at them and say, I'm going to be paying 15 years. I'm paying it off. Is anybody still my friend? I'm closing. I promise you. Did you hear that number? Did you hear that number of those and the inequality that is taking place in our country, but yet we're told it's fine and we go out and we spend more? Listen, I'm not a preacher that says you can't have things. Man, have them. Enjoy life. Get what you need. Get your supplies. Get things in order and prepare. But don't try to live like everybody else. Why don't you go buy a used car? Everything else you own is used, including you. Come on now. My wife got me at the pawn shop of life 23 years ago. Seriously. But we don't hear this anymore with preachers, man. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like the nursery rhyme. It doesn't sound like it, you know, this ain't going to make me sleep well. I got to have the new, and I've got to have DirecTV, and I got to have all these channels I'm never going to watch, and I got to have the latest phone that doesn't work. But this is our mindset. Finally, I just want to say this in the way of natural disasters. Pray for Guatemala and Hawaii. Pray for our country. Pray for those neighbors. This is going to be a wild month of June. More is to come. Right now in Hawaii, they've had over 12,000 earthquakes in 30 days. And you want to tell me that this Bible is not speaking today? You want to listen to the mind of a man and philosophy rather than to the listen to the Spirit of God? It's here. It's lining up. And we're in the midst of judgment, but we're also in the midst of the greatest opportunity to witness to people. Those that are watching right now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Now's the time to give your life to Christ. I pray that you would just turn everything over to Him and confess your sins. He already knows them, and He loves you with an everlasting love. And I pray that you pray the sinner's prayer and give your heart to Him today. Those that are backslidden, now's the time to get it right. Today's the day. Now is the opportunity to do something great for God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of the word today. Help us to see it like Isaiah sees it. And may we declare this with boldness to a generation that has been lulled to sleep by the nursery rhymes of our preachers and politicians globally. Help us to wake up, Father, and prepare for the last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I love you guys. I'll see you Wednesday. Visitors, I love you. I'll talk to you in a minute. Don't forget the bread, guys. Woo!